preferred in prison I dwell. No free from my sorrow I fell. But Jesus came and loosed me, and glory to God, he set me free.
He set me free,
yes.
He set me free,
man.
He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see.
For
glory to God, he set me free.
Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm a going home.
It's good to be in church.
Amen. Amen.
How many of you would rather be here than in jail? Praise the Lord. Looks like some just got out. And thank you, the warden, for letting you come tonight. And when you get saved, things are different. Whenever that my papa got saved, we call him Daddy. Daddy Shelton is my mama's daddy. He's one of the meanest men up on Sand Mountain, Northwest Georgia. Folks couldn't believe it that he got saved. They come from miles around to see if Tom Shelton really done got religion. They couldn't believe to see the change in the man. He was a different person. His desires changed. He had new direction. Instead of hell-bound, he's heaven-bound. Amen. Got new friends. Amen. And thank the Lord. Mama said things were different around the house after Dad Ed got saved. I thought, boy, what a change the Lord Jesus can make. Amen. We want to sing this song for you. It's different now.
Once I was lost in sin.
I had nothing within to save my weary soul. I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by his grace I'm free. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
It's different.
Death is different.
It's Jesus saved my soul.
Done. The victory now is won. Now it's different.
different now. Please, Jesus, save my soul. It's different now. For by his blood and wine alone. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now. Oh, Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now.
The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was the only man living that was serving the Lord, just he and his family. God commissioned him to build the ark, and he did his job. He had no converts in all those years, but he was faithful to the Lord. And when he built that ark, if you notice, there was no rudder on it, no steering wheel, no accelerator, no brakes. They were just in the hands of the Lord. And there's only one door, because there's only one way to get to heaven. That ark was a picture of salvation. Thank the Lord. We want to sing a fun song here about this event in Noah here. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the reason my father was born. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Well, the Lord looked down from his window in the sky and said,
I created them, but don't remember why. Nothing but fighting this creation day. I'll spit a little water and I'll wash them all away.
So the Lord came down to look around a spell, and there he found Noah behaving mighty well. That is the reason the Bible records Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the Bible records Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
The Lord said,
oh, there's going to be a flood. There's going to be some water. Take off your hat, Noah. Take off your coat. Get a hammer, Jimmy, take man, and build yourself a boat.
Noah said,
Lord, I don't believe it could.
The Lord said,
Noah, get the 30 gopher wood. You never know what you can do with it. So you try, build a 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the Bible records. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Noah said,
time to get aboard. Now take a creature, a key, and a sheet. Of course, this is Noah and the whole family.
Noah said,
oh, it's looking mighty dark.
The Lord said,
Noah, get these creatures in the ark.
Noah said,
Lord, begin the pour.
The Lord said,
Noah, now shut the door.
Noah
found
grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the reason the Bible records. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Well, the ark rose up on the foot of the deep. After quite a while, Mr. Noah took a peek and said,
we ain't moving, Lord. Where are we at?
The Lord said,
that's no mile there, rat.
Noah said,
Lord, it's looking mighty dry.
The Lord said,
Noah, see more rainbow in the sky. Take all the creatures and people to earth. Don't be more trouble than your work.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the reason I'm out of report. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
And girls really, really like. How many of you know who Gabby is? Raise your hand, boys and girls. Oh, so he's going to come out. Oh, there's some adults raising their hand. You know what, adults, don't worry. You will like him too. Everybody likes Gabby for some reason. So he's going to come out tonight in just a few minutes. But sometimes Gabby's a little shy, and we have to encourage him to come out by saying, come on out, Gabby. So I'm going to count three, and when I ask to count three, you're going to say with me, come on out, Gabby. Ready? One, two, three. Come on out, Gabby.
Get my microphone on. How's this thing work here? Is it working? Testing, one, two. Can you hear me? Testing, one, two. Okay, good. Good, good, good. There we go. All right, Gabby. Here we go. We're a little bit late.
Woo! This the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Gabby?
Yes?
What are you doing with a cigarette in church?
Letting my light shine. Where's your light? Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Gabby, now listen.
You need a light?
No, Gabby. I do not need a light. Now, I can't believe that you brought that here in church. Who gave you that cigarette?
Brother Caleb. And he got it from Luke.
Oh, Gabby. Gabby, I don't believe that. Brother Caleb would not give you that cigarette.
Yeah, he said, you want to be tough like me? Want to be good looking like me? Big, bad, strong and tall and ugly. Smoke this cigarette and let your light shine, brother.
Gabby, I have a hard time.
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine your light.
Gabby, that's not how we let our light shine.
It's not.
No, by the way, cigarettes are bad for you.
They are.
And I don't think that Brother Caleb would be giving you a cigarette.
Believe it, brother.
Now, wait a minute. He is on staff here, and he teaches in a Bible college, and he's in charge of the bus ministry, and he's an example.
Yeah, on how to smoke.
No, Gabby. No. I don't believe that one minute. Now, you are deceived. You're carrying on, because he would not give you something that would destroy your body cells.
Destroy my body cells?
Yes. It would kill you. It could cause cancer. Why, you could die from smoking.
No. Hell, get it off. Get it off. Get it off. Woo. I'm going to die. Is my hand going to die?
No, your hand's not going to die.
Brother Caleb, you murderer.
Now, Gabby.
Where's he at? He's out smoking.
Now, Gabby.
I knew it. You wonder what he's doing? Well, he's out smoking. That's what he's doing. You're going to die. You're going to get cancer.
Okay. He did not give you that cigarette. He does not smoke.
No?
No.
He drinks beer.
No, he does not. He does not drink beer. He does not smoke. He loves the Lord, and he wouldn't do that. Now, Gabby, you've got the wrong kind of friends. If they give you a cigarette and say, smoke this, if they're trying to get you to do wrong, if you've got a friend that encourages you to do wrong and to do bad things, and they introduce you to sin, that's the wrong kind of a friend.
He's a bad boy.
Now, Gabby, no, there's bad friends that would give you that. You know, if somebody came up to you and offered you a cigarette and say, Gabby, smoke this cigarette, what are you going to say?
What kind is it?
No.
Is it filtered?
No, Gabby. No, you don't. You say no.
No. Brother Caleb, no.
Okay, if somebody came up to you and they said, Gabby, drink this beer, what would you say?
Sure, what kind?
No. No.
No. No, no, no. Brother Luke, no.
Okay, you'd say no to him, okay? And you'd have the right kind of friends that encourage you to do right and live for the Lord. Because see, Gabby, let your light shine. The Bible says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we ought to make the Lord look good. And people are watching. So you let your light shine by how you act, the words you say, the places you go, how you treat other people. Those are things that people are watching. And the Bible says, well, you ought to act in such a way that other people could tell that you're different and you love the Lord.
Well, that's how you let your light shine?
Yes.
When's Brother Caleb going to start?
Now, Gabby! Gabby, now, you need to apologize to him. Now, he's a good man. He loves the Lord, and he's a very valuable staff member around here. And so I want you to apologize to him.
Right now?
Yes.
But he's not here. He's out smoking.
No, he is not. Now, apologize.
Okay. I'm sorry, Brother Caleb. Wherever you are, I'll be good.
There you go. Apologize to Brother Luke.
Brother Luke, I'm sorry that I told about your drinking, Gabby. I am putting... No, I'm too young to die. I don't want to go. No, Gabby, now you're going to be good and go back in your box. Say goodbye. Okay, goodbye. All right.
And when the Lord comes down from the heavens to the ground, I know the girl, I know it'll rain a friend. Yet he knows me, and he loves me, and he holds me in his hands.
Well, God spoke Abraham his servant, and told him what blessings he would send. And the sands of the sea is out of number. I know the blessed seems out of an end. And when the Lord
goes down from the heavens to the ground, I know the earth and a little grain of sand. Then he knows me, and he loves me, and he holds me in his hand.
Why, well, often think about the great creation, how God made mountains and the sea. Well, he made us all, and everyone is special. There's not another person just like me. I'm caught up in the middle of a cold world with people all around. But it's good to know I'm one of his creation. He sees me and he knows just where I am. And when the
Lord looks down from the heavens to the ground, I know the earth and a little grain of sand. Then he knows me and he loves me and he holds me in his hand. Then he knows me and he loves me.
Well, the old people are tired, so we had to let them sit down. They're fighting. This song, next song we're going to sing right before Champ comes in, my dad's going to preach, is Do You Know How It Feels? And I'm glad I know how it feels to be saved, born again, on the way to heaven. It's a good feeling to know. Do you know how it feels? Ready?
Do you know how it feels to know something's missing and you're still small, boy, that you just keep this mess? And do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on the cross someone died? Do you know how it feels when you're not to surrender, how you think washed away, never to be remembered? I know that it's real, tell me do you know how it feels? And how does it feel to know you're a child of a king? Your heavenly father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're alright when you lay your head on your pillow each night? And know it's real, ain't good to know how it feels.
Heart is melted and the tears started flowing the moment you felt him.
Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged?
Do you know how it feels wherever you roam? You still get a feeling you're not at home.
No, it's heaven is real, tell me do you know how it feels?
And how does it
child of the king, your heavenly father owns everything.
Well, here's Champ. He decided he'd come to church tonight wearing his tennis shoes, ready to run for the Lord. Amen. There you go. Now, they've been asking, saying, what happens if Champ messes in church? Well, he's potty trained. What are you talking about? Man, he would never think of doing something like that, I'll guarantee you. Everybody always wonders about that, though. They asked, but Champ is an American miniature horse. Champ's 32 inches tall. He's 14 years of age, and they live to be about 35. And Champ, why don't you give everybody a wave there? Wave to everybody. Good. Can you smile for him? We bill him as the smiling trick horse. He loves to smile and show those pearly whites to everybody. And Champ, is, I want you to look over the crowd here. Tell me tonight, do you think that all these cowboys are, and the cowgirls are going to go to heaven? Yeah, the cowgirls are going to go to heaven? Oh, good. And the cowboys are going to go to heaven? Good, good, good. You want all these moms and daddies to go to heaven? Sure, yeah, that's right. And what about, Brother Caleb? No. Brother Caleb's not going to go to heaven? He's not going to go to heaven? Champ, you are being silly. Is he a sinner? Oh. Well, how many times has he sinned today? I want you to start counting. How many times he sinned? One paw for every sin that he's committed today, okay? Just one for every sin. Champ, that many times he's sinned today already? You are being silly. You are being silly. I cannot believe that he would. Well, you know, we all have a sin problem. And the Bible says for all have sin. Some folks think if they go to church that they'll have it covered. Champ likes going to church. He's got his church chair here. He's going to show you how he likes to sit in this chair. Scooch over a little bit there, buddy. Scooch over. Come on. Get over a little bit. There you go. All right. Now let's back up. Show him how you can sit down in your chair all the way. Oh, yeah. That's a good boy. Sit down there. Yeah. That's a good boy. Sitting in your chair. Being good. Keep your hands and feet to yourself. No biting. No scratching. No kicking. No making faces at people. And whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute now. You can't break out of it that easy here. Just because you're in front of some folks, don't think that you're not going to get a licking here now. All right. Come on. Now let's back up here. Let's sit down, all the way down. Come on. There you go. All right. Now, behave yourself. Now, when you're in church, you sit still. And do you see any cowboys, cowgirls out there just being good? Yeah, yeah, that's right. They are being really good. A lot of times folks think if they go to church, they sing in the choir, they put money in the offering, get baptized, you know, be really good, that's going to take care of it. That's going to, you know, get them to heaven, and they're going to make it. But that's not good enough to get them to heaven, is it? No, that's not. They're not going to make it by going just by being good and going to church. That's a good boy. Now, we're going to go over to our teeter board. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy and His grace, He hath saved us. So that's not going to do it. Those are good things, going to church. It's important, but it's not good enough to take care of the sin problem. Now, if you know much about horses, they don't like teeter boards. They don't like anything that rocks underneath their feet. It's very unnatural for them to do it. Very difficult trick to teach them. But Champ's learned to trust me, and he'll get right up on this thing. And, you know, as you go through life, some people think, well, you know, going to heaven is just a big scale. If my good outweighs my bad, if I go to church, I'll be good. You know, it's just a big scale. If I'm good enough, I'll make it to heaven. Some days you're good. Some days you're not so good. Some days you go to church. Some days you sleep in. Some days you tell the truth. Some days you lie. Some days you are honest, and some days you're dishonest. Some days dishonest. Come on, get it for you. Yeah, there. Some days where you don't like to admit it. Some days you do your homework. Other days you don't. It's just like back and forth, and whichever one. If I just can do enough good to outweigh the bad, but it's like just a chance where if you go to heaven. Well, we all know that we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, but according to His mercy and His grace, He saved us. Amen. That's the truth. So, doing good things is important, but it's not good enough to take care of the sin problem. Now, Champ, I want you to show all these cowboys and cowgirls and moms and daddies here tonight how you can be good. I want you to be real still, and don't be misbehaving here for the next few moments up here, okay? You can be good, and I'm going to talk to the folks here, talk to them about going to heaven. Well, going to heaven is an important thing. Getting saved, that's really important. The most important decision that you ever make in your life. Now, you got to understand, the problem is is sin. We are all sinners. Champ, give me back my bandana. Champ, give me back my bandana. That is, don't be eating my bandana. Now give me that bandana back. Shame on you. Now you're being bad, and I want you to behave yourself while we're here in church. Okay? Don't be stealing my bandana anymore. Now sin. You say, I get back up here. Come on. Come on back up here. Scooch over. There. Now show them how that you can be good. Sin is anything that we think, anything that we say, anything that we do that breaks the heart of God. Champ, you are being a bad boy. Now give me back my old champ. You are getting slobber on my bandana. I'm going to have to wash it now. Now behave. You are being a good example of being a sinner, don't you know? You stay up here. Now behave. Now, Sam, anything we say, think, or do that breaks the heart of God. Champ, don't eat it. That's my... Give me back that bandana. Oh, yuck. That is a nasty mess. Well, you are being a good example of a sinner, and I suppose that you think that's funny. Yes. Well, you know what? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, Champ's going to play dead here. So, Champ, let's scooch up here a little bit. All right, scooch over. There you go. Now, Champ, you're going to die. So, here we go. Are you ready? Let's play dead. All the way down. All the way down. Good boy. All the way. There you go. That's good. All right, there you go. Oh, good boy. Yeah, that's a good boy. Hey, dead horses don't smile. You're dead. Now, you stay still and be quiet here. All right, now. Yeah, now, Champ, you know, he's 14, going to live to be about 35. We got many good years of service together, but someday he'll die. Someday you and I will die because of sin. The wages of sin is death. That's the reason why that Jesus laid down his life. And Jesus willingly paid the sin debt. He died for you and me. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he didn't stay dead, because when he was in that grave for 3 days and three nights, something happened. On the third day, he arose from the dead. Yes, and he ascended up into heaven. Let's sit up here all the way. Oh, good boy, Champ, good boy. He ascended up into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Boy, he's preparing a place for us. Man, streets of gold, walls of jasper. Boy, mansions, a perfect place where there's no sin, no sickness, no heartache. Oh, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to being able to get up to heaven. That's a good boy, and he's preparing that place for us. Now, Champ, the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life. So how do you get that gift? How do you get to go to that place that's called heaven? Okay, well, the Bible says, and did your bridle here too quick, sorry. The Bible says that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, scooch over a little bit. Scooch over. There you go. All right. Now, let's show them how you can pray, because the Bible says that if we call upon the Lord, we'd be saved. All right, so step up here a little bit. Step up a little bit. All right, there you go. Now let's bow for prayer. If a sinner would pray, and if a sinner would say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. If a sinner would say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Now I'm going to know I'm going to die and go to hell. I want you to forgive me my sins and save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. Accepting Christ as their Savior. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, that's the most important prayer you'd ever pray. Amen. Is to call upon the Lord, believing and receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. Oh, I hope that you've done that today. That's for sure. Now, Champ, after they pray that prayer and they get saved, they're on the winning side. Oh, yeah, their sins have been forgiven. Oh, their names have been put in the Lamb's Book of Life. And someday they're going to be in heaven. And so let's show them what it's like to be on that winning side. Okay, are you ready? Let's go up. All the way up. All the way up. All the way up. Good. That's a good boy. Yes, they're living in victory on that winning side. That's the truth. Now, Champ's got a pedestal here that he's going to get up on. And after you get saved, God's got plans for you. You're no accident. You're no uh-oh. He's got a purpose, a plan in your life after you get saved. So, Champ, let's get up here on this pedestal. Let's mount up all the way. There you go. That's a good boy. Yeah, Champ likes getting up here because it makes him feel big, makes him feel special. Makes him feel important. Oh, yeah, that's right. And God's got big, special, important plans for you. Oops, I missed you there on that. He likes these rewards of these little apple treats that he gets. There's rewards in serving Jesus. Amen?
I guarantee you, when he does his behaviors right and is good, he gets rewarded for it. And there's blessings serving the Lord, living for God. Oh, I tell you what, old champ, he's got a purpose. He's got a reason for being here. And so do you. God's got a purpose for you. Amen. I hope you find God's purpose and plan for your life and you do it. Now, champ likes to make people smile. He's called the smiling trick horse, and this next behavior always makes folks smile. I want you to smile and humor him and clap for him, if you would, when he does it. Okay, champ, are you ready? Here we go. Let's do it. Bottoms up. Bottoms up. We call this bottoms up because his bottom is up. There you go, buddy. All right. Well, I hope that you've enjoyed Champ the Smiling Trick Horse this evening. Champ, can we give him a bow before we leave? All the way down. There you go. All the way. All the way down. All the way down. Good. That's a good boy. All right. You can give him a round of applause. Champ the Smiling Trick Horse. There we go, Joe. Okay. Thank you very much. And Champ has performed about three times here today. We've been working him and the children have enjoyed him in both of the services. And I want you to take your Bibles, if you would. And we're going to finish the message here tonight from John, chapter number 6. John, chapter number 6. Bible says in John chapter 6, in verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Then when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he did to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. I see here a lack of faith with no cash. Verse number 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So when the men sat down in number about 5,000, Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. So see, men should eat first. You want to know where in the Bible says men should eat first? Right there it is. Anyway, you got to dig deep for that, I guess. Anyway. But now when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Now, I see here a lad. And the Bible says, there's a lad here. He's got a lunch. Not much in that lunch. But he came and he brought what he had and had his lunch there at this big event. I want you to see from this unbelievable story and this miracle that Jesus wrought here on there is a lad here. Number one, I want you to notice tonight that the lad was insignificant. In verse number 9, it just says it's a lad. Didn't give his name. Didn't say, what family he was a part of. He's just a little insignificant boy. Little. Not much. Just a little boy. Small. Champ. He's only 32 inches tall. A miniature horse. Dr. Jack Hiles. A little boy. In Dallas, Texas. Had holes in his knees of his breeches, T-shirt, no shoes, whenever he started going to church. Just a little insignificant ghetto boy. He was the little maid of Israel. She was small. She seemed insignificant. Family was gone. She's been captured. She's a slave. A small girl. God likes using little insignificant people and things. He was a little lad. Gideon, he was insignificant, just a farmer. Not popular. Hardly anybody knew of Gideon. I was just a little 9-year-old red-headed freckle-faced boy. And a cowboy preacher come to town, Brother Ken Bowen. Oh man, I'll never forget it. He come to town and he had his horse. He had a little Shetland pony. It was a trick pony. And he dressed up as a cowboy clown. And he was an old ex-rodeo star and got saved. And he used his abilities to be able to win people to the Lord. And he was an excellent horse trainer. And I remember that they put a tent up out there in the yard. And folks came from all over. And we had so many people come and so many people get saved. And boy, it's just a little redheaded, freckle-faced boy, a little cowboy. And I just said, wow, if I could do that, if I could travel with a horse, that would be the greatest thing in all the world. Just a little red-headed boy. Insignificant. The Lord likes using things that are insignificant. And here's this little lad. You know, if you would give the Lord your lunch, it doesn't seem like much. Just a bag. You might even feel like, I don't have anything to offer to the Lord. But if you'd give the Lord your lunch, He'd love to reach down inside. He'd like to take what you have to give Him. He'd like to pull out something beautiful and use it for the glory of God if you just give Him what you got. Seems like it's not much. It seems insignificant. But the Lord would like to take something you think is insignificant and make it significant for God. You never know where these young people are going to end up. You never know where those bus kids that come in here and seem to cause the most problems. You never can tell where they'll end up. I see the lad here. He was insignificant. I see also about this lunch. Look there. It says there's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? The lad was insignificant. The lunch was insufficient. What? How can this little measly lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I mean, how can that feed all these people? It seemed to be impossible. Oh, that lad's lunch, what he had to offer seemed so small. Sometimes we think, Lord, I don't have much to give you. But if you just give it to Him, He could make much of it. Amen. Brother Hiles, his daddy was a drunk, lived in a one-room house. Sits on the campus at Hiles Anderson College. That little one-room shack that little boy on the ghetto side, the south side of Texas, of Dallas there, where he grew up. Daddy was a lunch. He seemed like he didn't have much to offer to the Lord. Who was he? Just a little lad. It was just a little lunch. But what are they among so many? How can that little boy make a difference? Holes in his pants, not even shoes that he owned. It was the little maid of Israel. She was insignificant. She was insufficient. How could she help get Naaman saved? What could she do? What kind of an influence did she have on the life of the general of the army? She was small. She seemed to be insufficient. Just a slave girl. Gideon, what is it you have? Farmer, out there threshing wheat. I just got a hoe. Lord, I don't have much, but just this hoe. Lord says, I'll take what you got, and I'll use you to do something big and great for God. You think that you're insufficient. You think, boy, that lunch, what are they among so many? Just a 5 loaves and just some small fishes and bread there. But if you'd give the Lord your lunch, He'd love to reach in and He'd love to make something insufficient sufficient. He'd love to reach in and pull something out of your life that He could use to meet the need. You think, what is it among so many? Nothing. But God, He can do great things. God,
Now, with him, nothing's impossible. Well, this little boy here, he felt insignificant. His lunch was insufficient. But I want you to notice there, Bible says in verse number 13, therefore they gathered them and that filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the 12 of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. 12 baskets full. Man, that great miracle was wrought because there was a little insignificant lad with an insufficient lunch that gave what he had to the Lord. And God used it. I want you to see number 3, that the leftovers were inexplicable. Wow! 12 baskets full. Can you imagine when he come home, you wonder why there's 12 baskets? Because there's 12 disciples. And each of them had a basket. Hi-ho, hi-ho. Man, they came in the house. I imagine that boy came home with 12 disciples with a basket of food. Mama says, son, what have you been up to? What 7-Eleven did you rob? Where'd you get all that bread, all that fish, all that food? That's a lot of money. He says, Mom, you ain't going to believe it. Huh? Inexplicable. Woo, man. I tell you what, the leftovers are inexplicable. That lad, as he come home and to see, I just gave the Lord a little. Look what he gave back to me. You can't outgive God. Amen. Oh, I tell you what, God calls you to do something. He will equip you. He will enable you. He'll never guide you where he will not provide for you. Oh, I tell you what, Gideon, this mighty man of valor, who me, Lord? I'm just a farmer. I just got a hoe in my hand. I just been threshing wheat. He says, I'm going to take that. He says, you take those pitchers and those lamps. He said, you go out there and you're going to be the leader of this great army. And a lot of people are going to have a victory celebration when it's all said and done. Oh, man. I imagine he couldn't believe this battle that was won and how God conquered the enemy by using a little insignificant, insufficient farmer. But God will take that little lunch and he'd do big things with it. Oh yeah, Dr. Hiles, that small boy with holes in his britches and no daddy, raised by his mom in a little one-room shack. God used that little boy. And he grew up, didn't seem to have much to offer, shy and backward. God used him to be one of the greatest preachers, to build the world's largest Sunday school, to build the world's largest bus ministry, and thousands upon thousands got saved just because he said, Lord, I don't have much. But here it is. And the leftovers are inexplicable. Oh, unexplainable. Yeah, old champ. He was a hay burner. Good for nothing horse. 11 years out in the pasture. He was a stallion. He did his own thing. He thought he was living the dream out there in the pasture. Fat as a pig. Hooves long. His coat was shaggy and dirty. He was a mess. We came along and found him. Picked him up, cleaned him up, trimmed his feet. Started training him and working with him. Man, now he is living the dream. Man, he thought that he was living the dream out there in the pasture doing his own thing. And you think that's where you want to be, but that's not where you'll be most profitable. You think that's the dream when it's the nightmare. But whenever you give yourself to the Lord and you fulfill his plan for your life, oh, I'll tell you what, now that's whenever you're going to become valuable to the Lord. And God wants to do great things with you. And now, here's old champ. He travels across the country. There's a famous trick horse. He gets his picture taken. Kids love on him all the time, bringing him carrots and apples. And he has helped me. He went from the pasture to the platform to the pedestal to help Ranger Walker preach the gospel. He's performed over 101 times this year now. And he's seen over 1,045 people saved as of today, just this year. You think, wow, how in the world? He's just a little horse. He was a hay burner. And now, because he yielded his will to my will, he's valuable. Oh, yeah. If he would have resisted and fought, he would have went to the glue factory a long time ago. But because he said, you know what? I think I better listen to this fella. You know what? It's a good thing he did.
Because now he's living the dream. He gets his favorite food. He gets his treats. Huh? He gets his stall cleaned out. Anytime there's a little mess in there, it's out of there. He gets bathed. Huh? Oh, man. That horse, he gets taken care of better than most. Unbelievable. And now, he's like, wow, this is it. Boy, I travel all around. You ought to see, we open up that door and pull up that horse. We're at a rest area. We're at a truck stop or something. I mean, he's like a magnet. People come out. You wouldn't believe all the folks gotten saved just here and there and yonder with this little horse. He's just a little horse. He's only 32 inches tall, but yeah, just a little boy. Seems insignificant. God can take things like that and do great things. Amen. The lunch seemed to be so insufficient. But God says, I can take it. I can use it. You give God your ability. You don't know what you can do for God. I had no idea that the Lord would use me the way He has. I didn't know that I would be playing a guitar. I didn't know that I'd be a ventriloquist. I didn't know that my family would travel this country. I didn't know that I could do those things. I didn't know that I could lead singing. I didn't know that I could preach. I didn't know that I could. But God will take what you give Him and He will use it for His glory. He says, man, that kid, he was shy. That kid, boy, he was mischievous. Boy, that boy, he got in trouble all the time. He got kicked out of my Sunday school class, all these things. Insufficient. Insignificant. But the leftovers will be inexplicable. And if you give the Lord your lunch and say, Lord, I don't have much. It seems so little and small. I have so little to offer. But if you could reach in and take what I have and use it for the glory of God. He says, I'd love to reach in. He says, I'd love to pull something out that would be something beautiful. I'd love to take your life and make something that would last for eternity. Oh, it seems to be a little lunch. God says, I like to take little things and do big things with it. Tonight, there ought to be some, you know, we need some more cowboy preachers. Most little boys love cowboys. I said, you know what? God might call you to be a cowboy preacher. I said, I'm the only one I know of that's got a cowboy carved on a horse, and there could be a dozen of us out there. God might use. You know what? It'd be good to have this altar full of some young people saying, Lord, I don't have much, but I'll give you what I got. It'd be good for some teenagers maybe say, Lord, I've had my own plans. I've had my own dreams. Boy, like Champ, a hay burner out there in the field thinking, wow, this is it. I'm doing my own thing my own way. And God's thinking, dumb, dumb, dumb. They are missing it. Oh, yeah. Why don't you just say, Lord, here it is. If you want it, it's yours. And the results will be inexplicable. Hey, adults, are you going to have somebody meet you up in heaven someday and say, thank you for giving your lunch to the Lord. Thank you for giving your best. I can hear those people saying, hey, buddy, thank you. Man, we all ate. My family, we all ate off your little lunch. Man, thank you for sharing. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Huh? I can hear them saying, thank you, Brother Caleb, for promoting all these kids that got saved today. Someday in heaven, they'll say, thank you, bus workers. They'll say, thank you, church, for giving. Thank you for having a vision for the bus ministry. Thank you for what you've done. Woo! Because you gave what little bit you had. I'm in heaven. Oh, I tell you what, it'll be worth it. Amen. I hope you'll have somebody in heaven to thank you. And I hope that tonight we might take a few moments and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. I was up in Massachusetts where they parked the car in the dooryard and their pastor comes over for supper. They talk funny up there. Had a special needs lady after the event. We'd been there for a week and had a big day. Well, God blessed. And I think there was like 50 some odd got saved. And there on that last night, that special needs lady came up. She said, she kind of talked funny. She said, preacher, I want to thank you for sharing the Word of God and bringing your family here to preach to us. And she said it almost just like that.
tears in her eyes, thanking me. Well, this has been such a blessing. I thought, wow. Wow, if that's all that I got, it would have been worth it. That little special needs lady, Ford used her to encourage me so much to just keep, because someday she'll be in heaven and she won't be special needs anymore. Amen. We were in Maine. They run about 100 on their buses. They had a Saturday service because their facilities couldn't handle the crowd that they knew and hoped they might have. They had 240. And then the next day we had a drive-in big day and ran the carnival again and had a record-breaking crowd there. We had over 65 saved. And that church that usually runs about 250 and had almost 500 people come over. We had over 500. In those 2 days. Oh, what a blessing. There was such a buzz to see what the Lord did. And I thought, when I was a little boy, if you would have told me that we would have a little part in something like that, I'd think, oh, you're crazy. I can't even get up. I can't even talk to people. I'd hide around my daddy behind his back when folks would come up and say hello. And daddy pulled me back around, say, son, now you need to talk to him. Look in their eyes. Shake them, shake their hand. You know, the Lord will. Don't use them excuses. I could have hid behind that excuse and been a hay burner. Don't hide behind your excuses. Amen. I thank God for what He's done. And praise the Lord. Thank God for this church and what's happened here today. Just a moment, we'll have the invitation. You might want to come down and say, thank you, Lord. You might want to come down and say, Lord, I'm going to give you all I got. It's not much. Let's just see what the Lord will do. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless now. And Lord, we want to thank you for what you've done here. We want to thank you for the souls that are saved, decisions made, hearts challenged. And Lord, thank you for so many names being entered into the book of life. Lord, thank you for taking our little lunches and doing something big with it. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. And I pray tonight, if there's any soul here that's not saved, I pray you'd help them to see their need of salvation and understand that that's life's most important decision, to accept you. I pray that tonight there'd be some young people saying, Lord, I seem to be so insignificant, but if you could use me, here's my lunch. And Lord, you would do something big with them. And we'll thank you for it.